at the day before, that is the homecoming of Krishna from a day of cowherding in the forests of Vrindavan. Kundadama kito kotuk. One moment. Kundadama krita koto kovesho gopa godana vritu yamunayam nanda suno anage tavavatso narmada prana inam vijahara mandavayo upavat yannukulam manaya malaya cha spashanena vandinastamu padevaganaye vadyagita ballibi palivavru. So the elderly gopis address Mother Yashoda. O sinless Yashoda, your darling child, the son of Maharaj Nanda, has festively enhanced his attire with a jasmine garland, and he is now playing along the Jamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, amusing his dear companions. The gentle breeze honors him with its soothing fragrance of sandalwood, while the various upadevas, standing on all sides like panegyrists, offer their music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So here we find a meditative picture, so to say, in which the devotee can find joy in his heart, in which he can learn to see in his heart. Krishna has festively accepted a jasmine garland, and he plays on the banks of the river Jamuna in the company of the cows and cowherd boys, where he amuses his dear companions. There's a soft, gentle breeze, as you can see, at the banks of the Jamuna, coming, which carries the soothing fragrance of sandalwood. So the breeze in itself is cool, but it wants to serve Krishna, so it brings an additional cooling fragrance, the fragrance of sandalwood, along. And the last thing is the various demigods stand on all sides like panegyrists. I had to look this book, this word up. A panegyrist is someone who offers praise. The European kings had people whom they paid, who composed various songs and poems for their praise, and these were panegyrists, you know. So the upadevas are performing this function. They stand there with their musical instruments, veenas, I imagine, and other kettle drums, for instance, and they offer music, singing, and gifts of tribute. So the same cowherd boy who laughs with his cowherd associates are, or is glorified by the rulers of the planetary systems. So here's a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When the gopis assembled at Mother Yashoda's house in the afternoon, they saw that she was disturbed over Krishna's late return. So by now I think we know what is done in the spiritual world when someone is disturbed by the absence of the beloved Krishna. Other devotees will come and talk about Krishna. And by this talk of about Krishna, Krishna is felt to be present. That is an ongoing scene. So here we see the anxious mother Yashoda thinking, looking at the sun, and saying, it's already so late, but my darling boy has not yet returned. Why is he delayed? And the other gopis now give reasons. So here are the reasons of the gopis. Well, Yashoda, you have to know, after bathing in the Jamuna to relieve his fatigue, Krishna sat down on her bank and dressed in a festive way to please his cowherd boyfriends who were eagerly waiting to meet him. We know what it means when Krishna in Vrindavan dresses in a festive way. He will put lily flowers over his ears, which then hang down like this. And this looks very festive because the lilies are touching his blackish hair, and then he puts mango twigs in his turban, and he looks like a moving tree, you know. So this is his festive dress. It's very natural. It's no need of golden ornaments. Mango twigs, lilies, lotus flowers. And listen to this. Colored designs which are lovingly painted by the cowherd boys. Colored designs made from the natural minerals which you find are also enhancing the beauty of Gopal. So he sits there in this festive way, very outlandish with his forest attire. And then the gopis continue. A gentle breeze comes to refresh Krishna as he played in the water with his foot. So Krishna's foot is in the Yamuna and it moves back and forth. And then a breeze comes. To gladden his friends, Krishna told jokes and listened to the jokes of Krishna's friends, of his friends. O sinless Yashoda, the gopis continue, you never committed any sins previously or in this life by which danger could come to your son. Why do you, who are endowed with the most spotless fame, which is the word Yashoda means that spotless fame, why do you uselessly worry about danger from demons? If Krishna is just a little late, he's the son of Nanda, who's famous as the crest jewel of all pious men, and he's your darling son. We see the children fall into danger only when the parents have bad karma. So because you are sinless and have no bad karma, no danger can ever befall your son. The gopis, this means if they have to talk like this, Yashoda is really anxious that some mishap has befallen Krishna. So they tell now another reason why Krishna's coming late is perfectly in order and there's nothing to worry. Listen as we tell you another reason for Krishna's being late, as we have heard it from his friends. The wind, which has acquired its fine fragrance and coolness by touching the sandalwood trees growing on the Malaya hill, is blowing very pleasantly to honor your son. The minor demigods like the Gandharvas, who are famous for their celestial music and dancing, have all surrounded Krishna and are now worshipping him by playing musical instruments and praising his father. In order to acknowledge them, Krishna is delaying a bit, according to the logic that those of quality delight in seeing persons with good qualities. Therefore, there is no need to worry about your son. Actually, it is your great fortune that the Upadevas are honoring your son in this manner. So the gopis say, Krishna has such good qualities, so there are these demigods who also have good qualities, so like and like attract each other. Krishna attracts the demigods, and the demigods are attracted by Krishna, so let them spend a little time. And it's good for your family reputation that your son is worshipped by the demigods. Huh? Imagine, Rakesh, you would hear that your children on the way from school are suddenly stopped by the demigods who play music for them. This would be good for your family reputation. And you would say, it's all right, they can come a little later. So this is how the gopis pacify Mother Yashoda. Next verse. Vatsalo vrajagavam yad agadro vandyamana charana pativritta krishna godanamupoya dinante gita vino anugedita kirti utsavam shramarucha patidishinam Unayam kuda rajas churita shrak titsayaiti surit ashisha esha devaki yatararabur uduraja. Out of great affection for the cows of Braj, Krishna became the lifter of Govardhan Hill. At the end of the day, having rounded up all his own cows, he plays a song on his flute, while exalted demigods standing along the path worship his lotus feet, and the cowherd boys accompanying him chant his glories. This is a very nice description. So the Gandharvas, who are just minor devatas, they are the musicians, they play music, but now the big controllers of the universe, the big demigods, also come. And I think this is very nice. They stand at the path which Krishna takes to bring his cows back to Nandagram. It's very interesting for you to know one of these paths is here, just on the side of Govinda Kund. Krishna sometimes will come with his cows through, you know, here's the Kund, it goes towards the Govardhan, and between Govardhan and the Kund is a small pathway, and the cows are driven there. So Krishna comes, he's surrounded by cowherd boys who all sing his glories. Krishna did this today, Krishna did that today. They immediately and spontaneously compose songs out of what happened in the day. It's almost as if one of us sings about the other. And then Rakesh, after completing solid planning, has visited such and such place. Then he took his great talents in foreseeing what could happen in the evening and found the way to Govinda Kund. You know, and you know, it's like this poetry was sung immediately. How does Krishna look? Krishna's garland is powdered by the dust raised by the cow's hooves. It's powdered. His whole garland is powdered. So much like Johnson.
You know, like soft.
Yeah, very soft. You can see. Very soft.
The sand is very soft.
Yes. Sand is great, is serving Krishna. So it must be soft. So, and his beauty, which is enhanced by his fatigue, creates an ecstatic festival for everyone's eyes. I think in our Western concept, we think, how is beauty enhanced by fatigue? Usually a person looks 10 years older when he is tired, you know. But Krishna's fatigue is slightly different. At that time, his eyes roll. Naturally, his eyes are very unsteady, but sometimes Krishna's eyes roll from fatigue. That makes him very beautiful. Eager to fulfill his friend's desires, Krishna is the moon arisen from the womb of Mother Yashoda. So here's the purpose. It's a beautiful purpose. Seeing that my son, who is so eager to play, has not come back at the end of twilight, I will now kill myself. The gopis were fearing such a response from Mother Yashoda, and therefore they tried to console her quickly by giving further reasons why Krishna will very soon come. The gopis said, you can just imagine that Yashoda doesn't kill herself. Krishna is affectionately remembering how the bulls and the calves tied up in Braj are suffering in separation from him, so he will surely quickly come back, even at the risk of neglecting the Gandharvas and other demigods. So they say, Krishna is very sensitive. He knows his beloved bulls and calves, which were not going along with him, but which were tied up and stayed home in Vrindavan, are very anxious for him. So he will surely come very soon. Even if he is risking to neglect the Gandharvas and other demigods, he likes the bulls and calves more. One cannot say that for a cowherd boy like Krishna, the expert singing of such extremely insignificant singers as these Gandharvas is more attractive than seeing the cows feeding them grass, touching them, and scratching their necks. Krishna showed how much affection he has for his cows by lifting Govardhan Hill just to protect them. Though the Gandharvas may have heaps of good qualities, Krishna has not even a trace of affection for them. See, this is how the gopis now argue. First they said, he is busy with the Gandharvas. Let him just spend a little time. It's good for the family reputation. Now they see that Yashoda doesn't care for this and is at the verge of saying, I will kill myself if he doesn't come. I just can't stand it any longer. So they say, don't worry. Krishna doesn't think the Gandharvas are very important. He thinks the cows and bulls, which are home in Braj, are much more important. So he will surely come. So don't be very too much anxious. But Mother Yashoda replied, if that is so, then by this time Krishna should have returned home. Exactly. So the gopis have to now give another argument why he is not home, which is very reasonable. Replying to that objection, the gopis present yet another reason for Krishna's delay. Yashoda, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and the other chief demigods are now offering their respects to your son while standing along the path. Attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute, these demigods come from their own abodes and remain all day in the sky watching Krishna in great bliss. When Krishna returns to Braj in the evening, the demigods also return to their celestial abodes, but not before descending to earth to worship the lotus feet of your son in order to obtain his mercy. Yashoda, please think, what can Krishna do in these circumstances? Krishna's extended delay is caused by his taking time to bless the demigods. Why don't you see your own great fortune that the feet of your son are being honored even by Brahma, Shiva, and the other chief demigods? Therefore, why are you so distressed? But Yashoda cannot be pacified even by hearing that her son is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva. So in a tearful, choking voice, Yashoda said, "Oh dear young girls of Braj, please, I beg you, run to the watchtowers and tell me how far away my son is. So you can see, there are watchtowers, not to watch possible fires or so, but to watch Krishna.
Yeah, it's we saw in one of the places, in Radharani's place, there was one space where Radharani stands on a location.
Yeah.
She's looking for Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
We went to which place?
Yavai.
We went to Yavai.
Yeah.
And there's a temple there, and on the terrace.
Yeah.
I think that's the home, Radharani. Radharani's home.
Yeah.
In-law's
home. In-law's
home. And she's standing on a, it's a watch place on the terrace.
Yeah.
There's one specific place with the feet of Radharani.
And from there she watches.
Krishna.
Wonderful. Oh.
She will offer her meals. Whatever she cooks, she offers from there.
She offers to Krishna.
Wonderful. Oh. So now listen to this detail. Now on Yashoda's order, the tallest of the beautiful young gopis is chosen to climb up the watchtower to see when Krishna would arrive. You know, because she will be very likely, due to her tall size, to see Krishna a little bit easier than someone who is less tall. She said, So this is what the tall gopi says. Krishna is now coming home to fulfill the desires of his well-wishers. With the sweet sound of his flute, he has collected all the cows in one place. The fatigue of cow herding has brilliantly enhanced Krishna's beautiful form. His garland, she describes everything. Krishna looks so little tired from cow herding. Then his garland is sprinkled with the dust raised by the cow's hooves. Indeed, seeing Krishna in this way creates a festival of ecstasy for the eyes of the entire world. Wonderful. Beyond the perception of Yashoda, the gopi hints here that Krishna is casting love-filled, sidelong glances toward his intimate girlfriends. though dust is mentioned in relation to Krishna's garland, there was no dust anywhere else on his body, because his friends repeatedly wiped off the dust with their own chadars. There was some dust on Krishna's garland, however, because the boys were afraid of breaking the petals, so they did not remove the dust completely. Just a little. But listen to this detail. Krishna did not discard this garland, you know, which has the little dust, even though it had become a little dirtied, and neither did he put on a new garland, which a servant kept ready in the fold of his cloth. This indicates that Krishna wanted very much to exhibit this favorite garland hanging from his neck, because it was fashioned by his beloved Radhika with her own hands and given to him when he was in the forest by one of her sakis. So let's repeat. Krishna's body is wiped from the dust by the servant boys, but the garland they couldn't clean because of fear of breaking the petals. Plus Krishna didn't want to discard this garland and exchange it for a new garland which was just carried by another servant boy in the fold of his cloth. In other words, that was free from dust because it was protected by the fold of the... Why? Because he had received that garland from a servant, Sakhi of Radharani, in the forest, and it was made, handmade by Radharani. I have just found out a few days ago that Radharani is famous for making these long Vajrajanti garlands, which are made from 5 types of flowers, including Tulsi, and which reach down. Radharani is a specialist in this garland. It's a long. The word Devaki in the phrase Devaki Jatara womb refers to Yashoda. Krishna appeared like the moon rising from the milk ocean of Yashoda's womb. In Radha Krishna Ganodesha Deepika, Srila Rupa Goswami cites the Adi Purana, which states that Nanda Maharaja's wife had 2 names, Devaki and Yashoda. So when the Bhagavatam uses the word Devaki, it has Yashoda in mind. Good. So we will read one last verse for this evening.
Mada viguni talochanai shad manada svasuriram vanamali padara bandhu vadano midugandam mandayankanaka kundalan lakshmam yadupatir dviradaraja viharo yamini patir ivaisha dinante Mudita vakta upajaiti durantam mochayan brajagavam dinatapam.
Have to still practice a little on the Sanskrit. As Krishna respectfully greets, so this is more accounts of Krishna. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly, as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a Badara berry. with his cheerful face, resembling the moon, Lord of the night. The Lord of the Yadus moves with the grace of a regal elephant. A regal elephant, how does he move? Very slowly and majestically. Thus, he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Braj from the heat of the day. So, in this verse, the gopis tell Yashoda yet another reason for Krishna's delay. Please hear, Yashoda, why even now, as Krishna reaches the outskirts of the town, he's a little delayed. The reason is Krishna's eyes are rolling about in intoxication due to the bliss of seeing his father and other loved ones, or due to the love generated from seeing his beloved gopis. The first meaning is for those in the mood of parental affection, that Krishna's eyes roll because of seeing his father. And the second meaning is for those in the mood of conjugal love. This will be understood from a later description. The gopi said, to his own well-wishers, such as his family priests, maternal grandparents, brothers, servants, and betel nut bearers. Mm-hmm. Krishna has betel nut bearers. Well, that would be a nice profession, or a nice service, you know. I can imagine that there are, it's a whole science to make good betel nuts, and, you know, and how to bear them. I mean, the container, different types of containers for different climates, and so on. So, all of these grandparents, brothers, servants, and betel nut bearers, are greeting Krishna and giving benedictions according to their position. Krishna shows only slight respect by nodding his head, since though a prince, he is still young and not obliged to strictly follow the etiquette according to scriptural rules. So there are priests, family priests, maternal grandparents, brothers, servants, who all give greetings and benedictions to Krishna according to their position. But unlike it is expected that Krishna pays his obeisances to the family priests and so on, it is not like this. Although Krishna is a prince and therefore expected to follow a general etiquette, because he is still young, therefore he is exempted. Young boys don't have to be so etiquette-wise, and Krishna nods his head, you know. But that's good enough for them. They go and throw their turbans in ecstasy when they see Krishna nodding there and acknowledging them, the family priest. They don't expect, because Krishna is so overwhelming, beautiful. The phrase Swasuridam, well-wishes, can also refer to Krishna's beloved girlfriends who have climbed up the watchtowers to worship him with the blue lotuses of their smiling, sidelong glances. Unseen by others, Krishna honored the gopis with sidelong glances, signifying that he would soon fulfill their desires. So Krishna's face was slightly flushed, like a ripe buttery fruit, due to thirst, hunger, and fatigue from wandering in the forest. Or Krishna's face was flushed due to experiencing prolonged separation from his dear gopis. flushed, does this mean it's red or is it
yes.
light red?
Light red, yes. This is an anubhava, a symptom of ecstasy, you know, because he sees now the gopis. His tender cheeks were illuminated with the effulgence of his trembling golden earrings. Acha. I was wondering, it said here, the whiteness of his face had the color of the Badara berry. So apparently it's flushed, but because he has these earrings which are trembling and illumine the cheeks of Krishna, now the cheeks look bright and whitish, from the golden white. Krishna is addressed as the Lord of the Yadus, which here means Lord of the Cowherd Men. Previously in chapter 5, verse 20, it was explained that the cowherds are Yadavas. Krishna walked slowly like the king of the elephants. The word Gavam refers to cows or senses. Thus as Krishna, his face blossoming with joy, came closer, he relieved the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the distress their eyes and other senses felt in separation from him during the day. Shri Gopal Krishna ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai. So this was something about Krishna. Can you experience when we hear these descriptions, and we have heard many such descriptions, but when we hear them in Vrindavan, these descriptions please the heart so much more. Mm-hmm. Are you noticing? You take it serious. You don't think it's some poetic description. No, it's exactly like that, you know. Your shoulder is getting restless, and therefore the tallest gopi had to be sent to quickly see where Krishna was coming and to tell everyone downstairs he has reached the outskirts. Don't worry, he's greeting now his parents. Not his parents, his father, Nanda, yeah, and a priest. Yeah, and they bless him and he nods, you know. And so he will surely soon be there. So tomorrow we hear what Yashoda experiences when she finally sees Krishna. This is another aspect of real Krishna Katha. We are always hearing about Krishna from others, so that a certain expectation, apurva raga, is created. So we need a certain expectancy that, oh, when will Krishna come? How will Krishna look when he comes? And when we are having such strong feelings of expecting Krishna, then Krishna will come. But if we think it's not possible, I will never meet Krishna, no problem, then Krishna will keep himself distance. To say, I will see Krishna, and to say, I will never see Krishna, are both in the same way, right? Because yeya tamam prapachyante, in the degree someone surrenders to Krishna, in that degree Krishna reveals himself. Good. This was our little reading. It was it's the Yuga Gita, and the chapter is chapter 35. This is a wonderful description. Here is, for instance, a description how Krishna plays his flute. Bhagavati, you once sent this to me. You wrote it on a piece of paper. Krishna rested his left cheek on his left shoulder in order to play the gamakas. That's a vibrating. It's a gamaka. It's vibrating in the ascending and descending modes of the ragas. At that time, when Krishna is standing like this, Krishna placed his right shank, that's here, this part of the, over his left shank, to assume a charming threefold bending form, which enchanted the three worlds. Krishna tilted his neck, rested the flute on his lower lip, and made his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal and others to the skillfulness of his songs. You know, just watch how I'm now playing, you know. What type of flute was it? It was equipped with seven holes, which were covered by Krishna's fingers. Because Krishna never worked, his lotus petal-like fingers were softer than those of other men, but they were somewhat harder than his other limbs. Because although he does never work, he plays flute. And therefore, like a guitarist whose fingers are, the skin of the finger are hard due to pressing the strings, or violinist, Krishna's top of the fingers, which are used to cover the seven holes in his flute, are a little harder than the other limbs. His limbs are so soft as yogurt. And yogurt, it's so soft, yogurt, you touch yogurt, it's, I can't imagine anything softer than yogurt. So, but please don't think that this is just ordinary flute playing. It is, here's a comment by the experts who know music. It's the wives of the siddhas who fly in the sky. And they became astonished by hearing the sound of the flute. You know, these siddhas can make siddha music, which is extremely siddhic, you know. And you know what they say? They say, we have never heard such enchanting flute playing before, which totally bewilders us, even though we are chaste ladies. The husbands thought, even though we are men, this flute bewilders us too and makes us assume the mentality of woman. This is too much, this flute song. You know, it's so the celestial women became embarrassed in the presence of their husbands because they thought, our husbands, seeing our agitation, will have doubts about us. But the husbands on the other side became embarrassed, thinking, having given up our male identity and adopted female identities, our wives will have doubts about us. So everyone gets totally bewildered. It means nothing else. That Krishna pierces the hearts of everyone who comes in contact with him or his flute song, and then is attracted forcefully to Krishna, giving up all other objects of attraction, you know. And everyone, is that normal? What happens with me? But they can't think much more. Already they are in the... prison of Krishna's beautiful form and his the sounds which he makes, that it captures them. They can't escape any longer. High security prison. Mm-hmm. Yes. So anyways, this is so nice, you know, to just want to read on and on, but we will hear more tomorrow. I don't know tomorrow. No, tomorrow is our program is set. We go to the Qatar, where I'm invited to speak. It starts at 3 o'clock, and then we get out of the Qatar at 6 o'clock. There will be other speakers, Qatarkaras, who are more talented. And then we go at 6 o'clock, we go to Ramesh Baba. We have reserved half an hour to reach there. It should be possible. Have you found out already where it is? Or? And no, exactly, so that we don't lose time. Okay, then I think we will come to an end.